Call for Action presents Of Consuming Interest, a public service show that discusses scams, deceptive offers, and other consumer concerns. Here's the director of WUSA 9 Call for Action and your host, Shirley Rooker.
If you're looking for a lawyer, do you feel like you've run up against a brick wall? You don't know where to turn? The costs are prohibitive? How do you get some assistance? Well, we're going to find out some innovative things that the group Responsive Law is doing. Their executive director, Tom Gordon, is here with us, and he's been a guest before, always providing us with interesting information, Tom. Welcome back to Of Consuming Interest.
Thanks for having me.
Now, I'm dealing with a situation myself in Florida, and it has to do with my brother who has very advanced Parkinson's disease, and his wife, who took ex-wife now, took advantage of a power of attorney, stole everything he had, left him in really dire financial straits. And so he doesn't have money to hire a lawyer. He doesn't have money to get help. And I'm batting my head against a wall. I now have power of attorney and trying to help him. But it's just a very frustrating thing. Is this the story you hear from other consumers who need help? I mean, every time I turn around, I'm told, well, you can't go down there, even if we get a court appearance before a judge about this. He had a judgment against his ex-wife, and she's supposed to be paying him back this money. Of course, she hasn't done it. So we're going to have to go back to court before the judge, but they won't even let me speak for my brother, who is really not able to talk for himself. They told me he had to have a lawyer. Now, is that unusual?
Sadly, that's not unusual. The courts and the bar are very strict about who can speak on somebody else's behalf in court. And it's a real big problem in situations like yours and other places as well. There's a lot of situations like yours that I hear about from people who say, hey, I'm dealing with a relative who's got less capacity than they might otherwise have, or just somebody who needs a little help. They may not be incapacitated in any way, but they are not as quick on their feet, not as knowledgeable about the system, and would really appreciate it if they could have a relative or friend speak on their behalf. But unfortunately, that's what the bar calls the unauthorized practice of law. Anything that somebody does to represent another person in a courtroom will generally, unless there's a specific exception, be considered UPL, the unauthorized practice of law.
Gosh, I was just astonished to learn that even having a power of attorney, of course, I know it doesn't make me a lawyer, and I don't want to represent myself as a lawyer, but I thought I would just could go in there and tell his story. They won't let me do that. I don't know what we're going to do. My husband, who is a lawyer, he's retired now, but he is a lawyer. He's a licensed lawyer in Maryland and D.C. They have said that he could get permission to represent my brother in one instance, and that this may be it. I don't know what kind of papers and hoops we'll have to jump through to get him to be able to go down there and represent my brother in court, but to me, it was just such a slap in the face that this man who gets extremely nervous when he's under pressure, he wouldn't be able to talk for himself. He wouldn't be able to express anything.
Right. And this is, you know, there's a few issues you've touched on there. There's one, the issue of anybody, lawyer or non-lawyer, being able to help. In other countries, this isn't as big of a deal. In the UK, for example, they have what's called a McKenzie friend, named after a case titled McKenzie, which said, yes, someone who is not a lawyer can help someone out by showing up in court. They may not be allowed to speak directly on their behalf, but they can sit next to them, answer questions for them. They can explain to the person what they need to say at a certain point, and they can basically serve as a handholder for somebody who may not feel all that comfortable in court. That's not allowed pretty much anywhere in this country.
That's really strange. I mean, if I wanted to get, for example, some sort of an interpreter for him, I wonder if I'd be able to do that.
Well, it's interesting because you can usually get an interpreter. In fact, if you're not fluent in English, you in most places have the right to an interpreter as a matter of access to justice. But when the language you don't understand is legalese, there's no such right.
There's no way to get around it.
Right. The other interesting issue you mentioned was with your husband, who's admitted to the bar in D.C. and in Maryland, being able to represent your brother in Florida. And that's a big problem as well, that states don't allow other states' lawyers to come in and practice. There's not a lot of difference usually between the law of different states. Most lawyers focus on a particular subject area, not on a particular state's law. And so really, it's very easy in terms of their competence to practice across state lines, but the bar is very protective of its own turf, even from state to state.
Well, I can understand, especially in a state like Florida, where everybody wants to retire to Florida, and they make it very difficult, I gather, to join the bar there and are not exactly welcoming because of competition. And that's reasonable to me. But in a situation like ours, my brother can't afford an attorney. So what do you do? He has too much income to be considered indigent and get legal aid, if you could even get it. Mm-hmm. But so, and his income, believe me, barely pays the assisted living facility where he lives. So we're stymied. How does one go about providing this help? We're going to talk about this portal that you all have started. I'm going to go there and see what kind of information I can find. But it's just a baffling to me. And I know from Call for Action how many times we've heard people say, well, I can't afford a lawyer for this. Mm-hmm. You know, and that brings us back to the small claims court, too, where you can't sue for much in small claims court and about the only place you can go without a lawyer.
Right. And like you said, the need is great. People are calling Call for Action, like you said, all the time, saying, I can't afford a lawyer. This is a problem that doesn't just affect people who are at the very low levels of income that you need to be at to qualify for legal aid. This is the problem that affects 80-90% of the public.
The middle class in this country, really, legal services are so far out of their reach. It's just astonishing. My brother, before when he and his wife separated, he spent over $70,000 trying to get a separation agreement. And there were a host of other things, too, that had transpired. That just about took when then she took everything else. And it's just been a disaster. Mm-hmm. So anyway, that's my sad tale of woe. So But it is depictive of the people that I hear from at Call for Action, from the things that I know from experience over the years that people have experienced. And yet you're telling me, now let's go back. This is a segue to actually get into the discussion of the American Bar Association and their commission that I guess is set up to investigate the future of legal services. And I guess by that you mean service providers other than regular attorneys. Is that definition?
The commission had a slightly broader mandate than that. They were asked to look at, very broadly, like you said, the future of legal services. This was a commission that the ABA formed a couple of years ago with a lot of experts on it, and to say what there's a problem in this country. The bar is facing huge change in terms of technology, in terms of economic business models, and what do we need to do to keep the profession viable and to also serve the public? Mm-hmm. And so they were charged with answering that question. And the commission did a very good job of identifying the need. They pointed out the problems we've discussed.
Problems.
Right. They pointed out that, you know, a huge percentage of the public doesn't have access to legal help, that it's unaffordable for most people.
Let's just take a pause here on that very poignant note, and let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Tom Gordon. He's the Executive Director of Responsive Law, and we're talking about the group's efforts, and they're a nonprofit, by the way, and they accept donations. We're talking about some of the things that they're doing to try to open the legal system up to people so that you have more access to services, to paralegals, to assistance that's not going to cost you a fortune and be able to meet your needs. And now we're talking about the Bar Association, the ABA, and what they had done. So they do a good job of identifying the problems of the loopholes in the service but of the gaps in service for consumers, for moderate income, medium income, middle class America.
Right. And these are people who, as we said, have no real way of getting competent legal help. And the commission recognized this and recognized that they also acknowledged in its findings that the legal profession is woefully behind in adapting to the needs of consumers and to emerging technology and business models that can help them reach more people more affordably. Unfortunately, the commission pulled its punches in making recommendations. It seemed pretty clear from these recommendations that they needed to say that the status quo cannot continue, that there need to be new models, there need to be greater use of non-lawyers, greater use of different business models for lawyers to serve people. And the commission essentially urged more study in most instances.
So we've studied it. We urge you to study it some more.
Right. They said states, who are the ones who actually make the decisions on these things, you should also study this and move forward.
Hey, ABA, I think that's called a cop-out. So I mean, really and truly, they really didn't come up with any concrete recommendations on how to move forward to get the to close the gaps in services for consumers.
There are ideas that they had discussed, but their recommendation was not go and adopt these. It rather was to say these are good ideas that merit further study by state policy.
How long have they been doing this particular project?
The project was a 2-year project, so they've had plenty of time to study it. In fact, they clearly studied it well. One of the problems, I think, in a commission like this is that it's the ABA, who is a group made up of lawyers. And even though the people on this commission, many of them are people who are wonderful on these issues and know what needs to be done, they've only heard from lawyers. The people who testified to these commissions were lawyers, representatives of lawyer groups or service providers. Responsive Law was just was the only group that was representing consumers that showed up there. And frankly, hearing from them, I'm a lawyer myself. So they didn't hear from non-lawyers or even for the most part, people who speak for non-lawyers. In fact, their meetings, their hearings were all held at law schools and legal events. So the public would have no way of telling the ABA, this is what we need when we're looking for legal
help. Okay, now, so we have a gap here. Consumers need help. They may not need a lawyer to take a case to trial, but they may need somebody to guide them on what kind of lawyer do they even need if they can end up affording one. I mean, what are the ramifications if you hire a lawyer? If you lose a case, do you have to pay the lawyer's fees, et cetera, et cetera? There's so many questions that consumers have. Now, you all have started something. It's a portal that you, as you refer to it. Tell us what this is, Tom.
Sure. We've started a legal resources portal, which gives consumers in one place access to several innovative service providers that can provide people affordable legal services, some from lawyers, some from non-lawyers. And so you can go to our portal and look at the type of problem you have, the type of services that are offered. And you may want to talk to a lawyer for 15 minutes for a low fee of $39. You may want to ask a lawyer who's very qualified in this area to answer a single question you have about the law for, again, around $30 or so. Mm-hmm. You may know what you need. You may say, oh, I'm want to write a lease and I need a form for that and I want to set that up, or I'm setting up a corporation and want to be able to incorporate, and you may want to get documents that you can fill out online with a questionnaire to create your corporation. These are all services that are available through our portal, through excellent providers that are doing great work to bring these services affordably to the public.
You know, I had to pay almost $800 to get power of attorney for my brother. Mm. And is that outrageous?
I should have had better sense.
But this was back when I first took over. And, you know, I had so many things coming at me from so many directions that I went to a lawyer there. And that's what he charged me. I couldn't believe it. I mean, a power of attorney is not, it's got to be a particular type of document. It's got to be well done. But wow, I was reeling from it. But at any rate, that's the kind of thing that people could use advice on. How do you set something up? Simple wills, living wills, those sort of things. You don't necessarily have to have an attorney to do those.
Right. A lot of those things you can do using online software. So companies like LegalZoom and Rocket Lawyer, for example, provide these services. They take you to their website, and if you go there, you can pay for a form that you will then complete by using software the same way you might use TurboTax to do your taxes.
Mm-hmm.
You answer questions. It fills out the form. They send you a completed form that you can then sign and submit to a court if you need to.
Now, do they do this for all states? Is it restricted to some states?
Most of these services are for all states. Now, that said, there are some states that have occasionally scared some of these providers away. So North Carolina recently passed a law that has scared at least one provider out of the state.
Oh, wow.
And that's really unfortunate that they've been more aggressive on these things and have said, no, even though you're not actually having any lawyers do anything, you're just providing forms, same way that TurboTax provides forms, you are still potentially engaged in an unauthorized practice of law. And this is a battle that's been going on for decades.
Well, I mean, we don't want people out there representing people and claiming to be a lawyer. But at the same time, if they're not making that claim and they're just providing help to consumers, and believe me, much needed help at a reasonable price, It's just really, it's sad to me. I mean, it's very sad to me. Do the lawyers have anything to do with the fact that our small claims courts have such small amounts that you can sue for in a small claims court?
A lot of that is inertia. A lot of it's inertia that's just come from it not being a priority of legislators to raise the limit. But some of it is, there's occasionally been opposition from lawyers who have a fear that they would lose out on business if more people could represent themselves. Mm-hmm. But that's not really true when you're dealing with a $5,000 or $10,000 limit. Raising that to $15,000 or $20,000 or $25,000 is not going to take business away from lawyers. No one's hiring a lawyer for a $15,000 case. If they are, it might be a brief engagement at most to understand what the situation is.
Yeah, and the cost, the cost is what just really startles me. Anyway, so your legal services portal, people can go there and use it for free, or they can make a small donation to you all, which is, I gather, tax deductible.
Actually not, but explain that. Okay. No, but we do offer most of the donations to us are tax deductible.
So that's a nonprofit service that organization. You're charging for.
Right, but we do have, our portal is available for free as a service we offer people. And you can go there and look at the different services available. We're continuing to add to that list. But also for a $25 annual membership, which is not tax deductible, but still very valuable, you can go there and you can get discounts of up to 50% on these providers.
Well, that pays for the fee right there. So, yeah. And you all are a good group. I like what you do, Tom. Okay, let's just take a brief pause here to let our listeners know they're tuned into Of Consuming Interest. I'm Shirley Rooker. My guest is Tom Gordon. He's the executive director of Responsive Law, which is a nonprofit organization that is out there trying to encourage the legal system to open up a little bit to service providers that aren't lawyers, that don't charge horrendous fees. My husband's a lawyer, so I'm not here disparaging lawyers because God knows we need them, and sometimes we really need them. But there are so many things that consumers need done that could be done in ways other than having to pay $200 or $300 an hour for an attorney. And that's what you're looking at doing. And that's what you and I have had many discussions over the years, Tom, about these issues. Do you see it improving at all?
It is improving slowly. It's there are companies, like I said, the ones on our portal and others who want to provide these services and are finding a way for attorneys to be able to take, rather than $300 an hour or $200 an hour, people may not be able to or want to pay $200 for 1 hour of an attorney's time or be able to find that attorney who will give them just an hour of their time. But they're often willing to pay $40 for 15 minutes of an attorney's time. Mm-hmm. And that can be just what someone needs in many situations where they don't have the money to do something themselves, but do need to know just a little bit so that they can go and help themselves affordably. And in 15 minutes, a lawyer can tell you a lot about your situation and get you started on where you need to go to help yourself.
And whether or not you have enough of something to pursue it. I mean, a lot of times I think that's a question that consumers have. Do I have a case here? Is it worth pursuing? Am I going to have the likelihood of my prevailing? Those are big questions. Do in most states, do losers at a trial have to pay the other complainant or the defendant's legal fees?
None. In the U.S., the general rule is that each side pays their own legal costs in litigation. So that cuts both ways. And on the one hand, if you're sued, you don't have to pay anything other than the cost of defending yourself. On the other hand, if you win, you may be out as much in attorney's fees or a large amount of your winning in attorney's fees. But getting back, also litigation is really a small part of the overall legal needs of people.
That's exactly right. Yes.
So you're talking about a very small part. And on things that are transactional, things like having a will, things like uncontested divorce, which is technically litigation, but not adversarial, things like signing a contract, incorporating a business. These are all things that people need help with on a regular basis. Mm-hmm. And one of the things that people can use more help from in the sort of short form, rather than having a lawyer for a huge representation, is to get essentially a legal checkup. This is one of the recommendations that we did like from the ABA's commission, that they encourage the use of legal checkups, which would be people going to a lawyer who could then tell them, look, here's your situation. Just like you go for a medical checkup every year or two, you can go for a legal checkup where a lawyer can look at your situation and say, here are things you might want to keep an eye on over the next few years. Here's things you should do to make sure that you don't end up with more expensive legal situations down the road. Mm-hmm. And that's the sort of thing where
it could be very helpful.
Could be very helpful and could be preventive. Very affordable.
Mm-hmm. Be preventive. So, looking at. Well, Are there states that you see being more forthcoming in terms of offering these services? I know that, for example, Florida has a reputation of being really hard on people who are paralegals and that sort of stuff. Are there some states that are loosening up a little bit in terms of allowing these services?
There's not so much states that are loosening up because there's not a lot that states have to do in many instances to loosen up. It's more that they just don't push back against services that are beginning to be offered. So what we see is states that let services exist that are helping the public and don't raise a false alarm about consumer protection when they're really concerned about competition for lawyers.
Oh, yes.
And then we see other states like Florida that push back hard on any sort of innovation because the bar is very very set in a, very anachronistic mindset.
Yeah, they seem to be. It's very, very, very interesting and a little bit disturbing to somebody like me. I feel like there's so much that my brother, there's so many gaps there in how do you help someone? And you know, I talk to other people and I think particularly in the senior population in Florida that you're going to find a lot of issues there. Someday you and I are going to have to sit down and talk about powers of attorney and how they can be abused and the values as well. That's for another day. But right now, going back to your legal services portal, so what might I expect to find? What are some of the things? So I go there and I can get answers to questions. I can get forms. I can get all kinds of things. And you're going to walk me through the process the organizations that you're working with are
going
to.
We have organizations that we provide links to and descriptions of what they provide. So like I said, some of them are document preparation companies like LegalZoom, which many people heard of, or Rocket Lawyer, where it's essentially a TurboTax for law, where you know that you need a certain document and you can answer questionnaires online and it will create the document for you. And so we have services like that. There's also services that will do short answers from attorneys. So companies like Avvo, which does, like I mentioned, the 15-minute consultation for $39.
Okay.
You may have seen their ads on TV. Also a company called Just Answer, where you can, for a similar price, have an attorney answer a single question for you by email.
Well, I like your innovation in doing this and putting all these together in one place that consumers have one spot. You go there, you have different resources to go to, because you may have three different issues and you may need three different websites to get you going. I mean, I think that's possible, isn't it?
Right. And that's where things like the attorney consultation, the short consultation, can come in really handy, because you could say, hey, I've been on Responsive Law's website. There's a lot of resources there. How about you tell me, Mr. or Ms. Attorney, what this is, what would be the best course for me if I'm doing a lot
of
this myself?
How do I pursue it? How do I get, what do I need to do? And so on. Well, you know, it's always heartening to me to meet with you, Tom, because I know you're out there fighting a fight for consumers and not fighting against lawyers because you're a lawyer yourself, but rather bringing consumers and lawyers together in a way that's going to be more effective and affordable for so many consumers. And I applaud what you're doing. Any last thoughts? We've only got a couple of minutes.
Sure. Just want to let people know about the portal. You can go to our website, responsivelaw.org. And at the top of the page, towards the top, there's a link that says Legal Help. And if you click on that, that'll take you to the portal. We'll be continuing to add providers there. And we're hoping to bring in some more specialized types of providers for different needs over the coming year or so.
Well, I think it's a truly innovative thing. And because as far as I know, there's no other place you can go to get these resources grouped together.
That's right. Right. We are doing this. We saw a need because people don't have access to all these things in one place. And we wanted to provide that to them because that's an important part of our mission is educating people about how they can solve their legal
problems.
And
the website again
is responsivelaw.org.
Responsivelaw.org. Remember, you heard it here first. Well, not first, but you know, we'll brag. I mean, what the heck, Tom? Well, it's been truly wonderful talking with you again and knowing that you're out there fighting the good fight for consumers to make the legal system accessible to all of us and affordable, which is a big deal. And listeners, it's been good to have you with us. You've been listening to Of Consuming Interest. My best guest has been Tom Gordon, Executive Director of Responsive Law. The website is responsivelaw.org. They're a nonprofit fighting the good fight for us. You've been listening to Of Consuming Interest right here on 1500 AM. I'm Shirley Rooker. Thank you for joining us.
of Consuming Interest is a public service program presented by WUSA 9 Call for Action, hosted by Shirley Rooker. Call for Action is an international nonprofit network of hotlines which offer free and confidential assistance. If you have a complaint, contact Call for Action at 301-652-HELP. That's 301-652-HELP.